Find your missing ingredient at the 2024 National Restaurant Show. Whether you're looking to adapt your offerings to satisfy shifting dinner expectations, seamlessly navigate razor-thin margins, or integrate next-era solutions to offset labor challenges, the show has everything you need to plate up success for your operation. See tomorrow's ideas come to life and find inspiration for your next big concept as you explore a bustling show floor featuring over 900 product categories. From award-winning food and beverage items to innovative back-of-house equipment and technology. Join your peers at the show for Food Service in Chicago, May 18th to 21st, and get a taste of the future. Visit the official show website at www.nationalrestaurantshow.com to register and learn more.
Welcome to Menu Feed, a weekly podcast from Restaurant Business and Food Service Director. I'm Pat Kobe, Senior Menu Editor covering food, drink, chefs, and trends for both brands. Joining me on the podcast is Larissa DuBose, a certified sommelier who oversees the wine program at Vino Volo, the popular wine bar located in 35 airports around North America. Her task is to create an oasis for busy travelers who want to relax with a glass or flight of wine and perhaps a bite to eat before boarding their plane. Some are rushed while others have some time to linger. To cater to this unique and diverse clientele, Larissa sources a variety of wine styles and labels, including local wines from the market where the airport is located. She has also introduced alcohol-free wines for sober travelers and a new loyalty program for frequent flyers and guests. Listen as Larissa describes why server education is so important to Vino Volo's success, how she works with the chef to create a complimentary wine and food pairing menu, and where Vino Volo is flying off to next. Welcome, Larissa. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Pat. Excited to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you. So let's begin by you telling me a little bit about how you got involved in wine and what led you to Paradis Lagardère and Vino Volo.
Yes, that's a great question. I have a very storied journey that I'm excited to share with you. I got into the adult beverage industry back in 2010. I was actually on the wholesale side of the business working for a large distributor in Baltimore, Maryland. And it was during that time where my territory that I was in, I was an on-premise sales representative, and it was a pretty spirit-heavy geography that I was assigned to. And it wasn't until maybe a year or so in that I was promoted to the Gaylord Hotel down in the National Harbor. And that was my first time working with the sommelier, very elevated programming. And he was a very specific individual. He had standards and you had to make sure that you were aligned with those standards. So I learned a lot from him. And it was a trip that was an incentive trip that we earned through a wine supplier back in 2012, that took us to Napa and to Sonoma. And so this was an educational enrichment trip, and it was really an opportunity to do a deep dive. So all of the things that I had been reading about prior to this trip, I was able to actually like touch it, feel it, walk through the vines, and really, you know, put an idea behind a reality behind the ideas that I had been reading about. And that's where I caught the wine bug. I had this one particular moment. I remember we were at a winery. We had gone up this hill at the winery, and you could see the Russian River meandering through the property. And I just had this aha moment. I got really emotional. And I knew that my career would take me down the path of wine. I just didn't know how. And again, at the time, even though I was working with this notable sommelier, my territory was still pretty spirits driven. So fast forward, my now husband and I, we moved to Atlanta, Georgia. And that's when I was able to step back from 2012 and fast forward to 2014 and see those worlds align. So in 2014, I started to work on what we call the supplier side of the business. So I started working for a Napa Valley winery that has properties throughout the world. And on the supplier side, that was my space to really begin to dive in. And I started to really get the bug for additional wine education. Because as a supplier, as I'm working with distributor sales representatives and their teams, it made sense to me that if I'm going to be the one that's coming into these accounts and speaking about my wines, I should be the credible individual. I should be the go-to. And so how do I do that? Let me continue to educate myself. So that's when I got my first certification. I got the Certified Specialist of Wine through the Society of Wine Educators. That was back in 2015, and it's been a slippery slope ever since. But from there, I was on the supplier side of the business from 2014 until joining Paradis Lagardère back in 2022. And it was a great journey. It really showed me a lot. I learned a lot about how our business works, specifically through the three-tier system. And it showed me what I thought a good partner as a buyer would be, right? Because I work with buyers all the time. So I always say that's my superpower, is that I know the supplier and the distributor side of the business. I really have an intimate understanding of how our system works. And so as a buyer, that allows me to be a better partner. And so there's always room for improvement, but I really do strive to be a good partner with our both our spirit, our beer, as well as our wine partners. Mm-hmm. So I got involved with Paradis. It was pretty turnkey. A recruiter reached out to me and the rest was history. I connected with my senior VP, Claude Guillaume, and our COO, Nikki Harland. And I just knew that this was a great match. I knew that I was going to be able to really grow here and really help to edify our teams. I think I had been in sales long enough where I wanted to shift my career to more strategy and to be able to take those best practices that I've had over my career and to be able to share those with teams to help them grow and to help them step into their best professional and personal selves. So that's kind of the story journey of how we got to Paradis and Dino Volo. And it's been a wild ride ever since, I'll tell you that.
Wow, it's a great story though.
Thank you.
So most of the Vino Volo locations are at airports, is that correct?
All of them are at Vino Volo.
So that's a challenge in itself to choose wines for airport locations because people are in a hurry. It's not like you're sitting leisurely at a restaurant and looking over the wine list. So tell me a little bit about how you meet that challenge and what kinds of wines you choose for those locations.
Sure. So every day is a new adventure in the world of airports. And one of the things that we really do pride ourselves on with Vino Volo is we have a national program, which I'm in charge of, but we also allow each of our locations, we have over 40 throughout the US and Canada, to have autonomy over what we call our discovery flights. So with that, we really do try to have a sense of place at each location. So if you're going to a Texas Vino Volo, perhaps in Austin or Dallas or San Antonio, you would typically be able to find, if not a wine flight that has Texas wines, you'd be able to find some Texas wines, whether it's in the retail program or by the glass offerings. And the same with our Detroit location. If you go to Detroit, you're going to find some wines from Michigan. And so we really want that to be the opportunity for our guests to have the consistency of going to a location and knowing, like, I really liked that wine last time. I wonder if I'll be able to find it here. So for the national program, that's my side, but you also know you're going to find something different at each location. And that's where the teams really get to shine and share their why, share their passion, share what they're excited about, what's trending in their area. And the way that we approach our guests is you really have to go above and beyond, right? And so it's more than just being an order taker. We consider ourselves an oasis. We've heard that numerous times from many of our guests and our travelers, is that we're the oasis in the crazy airport. And so just a couple of questions, asking some questions, you can really help to figure out where a guest is at, what their time limits are, and where they are in their journey, because we're a part of their journey. Whether they're going to a celebration, whether they're going to something sad, we don't know where they're at in their journey, but we know that we're a part of it. And so just by being engaging and asking some simple questions, you can really help to guide the guest and to curate an experience for them that's elevated and something that you don't always expect to find in an airport.
Right. Well, I know some of them have piano players too, which is really makes it a real oasis.
Yes, you never know what you're going to get, honestly. Every vino volo is different. I've been to almost all of them. I think there's literally only three of them that I haven't been able to make it to yet, but I'll get there this year. They all look different. They feel different, but the experience should be consistent. And that's what we pride ourselves in. It's the people that really make vino volo, vino volo. And even if it doesn't look the same, the feeling that you walk in should be the same. And that's what we strive for.
Right. Now, on the wine list that you offer or the selection, are there like a real range of prices and styles and varietals? So tell me a little bit about that. I mean, because wine customers are, you know, come from all different levels of education and taste and things like that.
Yes, yes, you're so right. And we really do curate our selections to be able to fit every palate. We want our guests to discover great wines. And so wherever you are on your wine journey, we should be able to meet you there. And so specifically from our national wine program, we have four flights that I focus on. Most of them are red wine. We have one flight that's called Shades of White, so we can kind of go and venture out from there. But we know that Chardonnay and Sauvignon Blanc for the white wines are going to be the two most popular varietals that most guests are going to ask for. And for the red wines, Cabernets. So where do we get to kind of play around and introduce something that they might not be familiar with? So when people think about Sauvignon Blanc, typically they think about New Zealand. So what are some other notable regions that are making amazing Sauvignon Blanc that we can introduce our guests to? So it really is a balance of, we know what the popular varietals are, we know what the style is. So how do we introduce new regions that our guests may not necessarily be familiar with, but because we know that they like this particular taste profile, we could meet them there. And from there, you know, currently on our wine list, we have a Pecorino, where a Pecorino, most people think of cheese, but no, there's actually a white wine that comes from Italy that's called Pecorino.
Oh.
So it's really those oohs and ahs that we try to get from our guests so that they know, okay, I know I wouldn't have gotten this anywhere else. I had to only get this at Vino Volo, but we really try to go off the beaten path in addition to having the classics so that nobody feels intimidated when they walk in. And if you have a question, we have a very engaging staff to be able to answer and guide you.
So do most people order flights or do they order just a glass of wine and a snack?
That's a great question. So flights are definitely, it's loosely our name, Vino Volo. It's loosely Italian for wine flight.
But flights are. And you're at an airport.
At an airport. Yeah. It all comes together, right? So yeah, so flights definitely lead the way for us because it's the easiest way for our guests to explore. They might see something on that three wine flight that they know. And then they're like, oh, well, you know what? I'm not familiar with these. So let me just go ahead and try those. So flights definitely lead the charge as far as our sales. But the beauty of it is that you can always, after you have your flight, which is three tastes, you can convert that to a glass. And then you could potentially convert that to a bottle because most of our Vino Volos have a retail dynamic where you can buy bottles at a retail price point that are actually very competitive with the street. And you can take those bottles to go. So the perfect Vino Volo experience would be to come in, try a flight, get a glass, and then get a bottle of that favorite glass of yours to go. And of course, the food is there as well. That's an amazing opportunity for us to pair and to really create and elevate that experience for the guests by pairing their food with their flight or with their glass.
Well, tell me a little bit about the food selection. So what kinds of, do you have a lot of small plates? What are some of the options people have?
It ranges. We have everything from a tomato bruschetta to short ribs.
Really? Wow.
Yes. So it's literally everything in between. We have salads, we have pizzettas, we have sandwiches. And then, of course, we have a full entree because you just don't know what part of the journey you're on, right? Somebody could be on a very long across the country flight, an international flight. So they need something a little heartier to sustain them on that flight. Or somebody's really quick. They just want to grab a flight and a glass and some light bites, whether they want to do our butcher board, which is traditionally our charcuterie board, some cheeses, a light salad. It really does range. And one of the things that we like to focus on as well, again, that local dynamic. So what in that particular airport at that particular Vino Volo is the local fare. So we really do try to have some additional options as well so that individuals and guests can try something that they wouldn't have necessarily been able to try had they not traveled through that particular location.
So, like in Austin, you could get barbecue if you want.
You know, so that's a great question. I don't believe we have barbecue at Austin, which would make sense. So that's something that we have to keep a note on. But there are different, whatever the thing is that is very Austin, Dallas, or San Antonio, there is something like that that you'll be able to find at that particular location. And all you have to do is just ask the staff and they'll let you know, okay, yeah, this is the Texas thing. This is the Michigan thing. This is the thing that you have to try if you want to get the local flair.
Cool. So you have kitchens at the locations too?
It's magical what our staff, our associates are able to do with the spaces that they have. Yeah, so we do have kitchens and they do wonderful things with very small spaces. And so that's the beauty of what we're able to do as operators. We are able to really transform something that you wouldn't even expect to be able to find, like short ribs. You
Yeah,
can get
that's
that
pretty
at a
amazing.
Vino Volo. Exactly.
Yeah. And you've also expanded the zero proof selection. So tell me what that includes.
Yes, one of the things that we're really passionate about is staying ahead of the trends and being mindful of movements. And I am the first to say that I genuinely believe that the sober curious and the non-alc movement is a movement. It's not a trend. This isn't something that's going away, and we're paying very close attention to it. So last month, or I guess, yes, we're in February now. So last month, we rolled out a new offering, two new offerings, contingent on which Vino Volo that you go to, so that those individuals who were either participating in Dry January, or again, they want to be able to have a non-alc experience without it just being, oh, I have to get water, juice, or coffee and tea. Like, I can have an elevated experience and still have the flavor profile. And there have been leaps and bounds in this particular space when it comes to the non-alc offerings. Just even 3, 4 years ago, what was offered, just from a taste profile, I always say I'm developing my palate. And so the wines that I was tasting 3 or 4 years ago versus the wines that are being made now, it's leaps and bounds. And it was actually at a tasting that I had gone to, I believe it was late November, that, you know, I went in with an open mind, but still just based off of previous experience, just wasn't quite sure what I was going to expect and was really impressed with the offerings, and they're only continuing to get better. So that is something that we're really proud of, is that yes, just because you don't drink wine doesn't mean that you can't have a experience here with us with a well-made wine that was made with intention, but they removed the alcohol so that everyone feels good when all is said and done.
Yeah, I'd re be really curious to hear what some of your favorites are because I've done Dry January twice and I'm a wine drinker. And
Yes.
I mean, the first time I did it, really, the wines were really pretty terrible. But
Yeah.
the second time, which was last year, I found a really good white wine that I liked. So
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
I'll tell you, sure. So, and I've had the exact same experience, Pat. When I've tried non-alcoholic wine, when I've had it in the past, it just feels like the middle is missing, like the bottom is missing. There's just a roundness that there's just something, there's like a hole in the middle of the wine. Whereas with these wines, so particularly the Odd Bird, which has been getting, it's been all over my social media feed before. That's how I know our phones are listening to us. Because before I went to this tasting, I had not really heard about Odd Bird, but now I see it all the time on my social media. So Odd Bird, I believe, I can't recall the origin, and that's something that we can add in potentially later,
Sure.
but it's coming from Europe. And it is amazing. It's sparkling. They have a Blanc de Blanc and they also have a rosé. But when I tried that wine, it was the first time where I was just really just taken aback in a good way. Another notable winery that has a non-alc offering is Giessen out of New Zealand. They have a sparkling wine that I found really delightful, as well as a Sauvignon Blanc and a rosé that are really, really approachable as well. I think for us right now, as we're continuing to figure out this trend, because once you open a bottle of wine, it's open, and we all know that has a life on it that's not going to last forever. Whereas right now, we're really focused on kind of the single-use servings so that there's no waste there, and we can really actually track what the popularity is and how we can potentially diversify moving on down the road.
Right. Well, I'll have to look for those for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So, as far as, drinking in airports? I know, like, a lot of times guests are in a hurry. Sometimes they're not because their flights are delayed.
Right.
But how do you sort of like design service so that the guests have a good experience, you know, depending on how much time they have?
Sure. So again, it's more than being an order taker, right? You really have to meet the guests where they are. And honestly, it's just a matter of just asking some questions to identify where they are. Are they in for a quick bite and a glass, or do they have the time to hang out? So the way that we train our associates, there are ways to identify the type of traveler and where they are in their journey. So, and from there, the steps of service that go to align with that particular guest work out beautifully, because again, you're meeting the guests where they are, and all you have to do is just ask a couple questions to figure that out. So if somebody is a wine lover and they have the time, then you know exactly what direction to go. And that's why it's really important for our associates and our entire teams to really know the wine list. And education is such an important foundation for Vino Volo. I'm very proud of the investment in education our company has made. We have so many certified sommeliers, WSET level 2, level 1, certified specialist of wine, that we have certifications up to wazoo. And I think that's amazing. And I think it's really a testimony to the passion that our team has for wine education. So circling that back to, and how do you plug that into the guest experience? You really have to know the wine list to be able to know how to guide that guest. And so if they're a wine lover, meaning that they're really well-versed and they know a few things about wine, then you know what direction to take them. If they're maybe not a wine lover, but they want to discover something new and off the beaten path, then you know what direction to take them as well. And if they're not drinking, we have options for them as well, right? So you don't necessarily just have to stick with the coffee and the water. We actually have some notable options for you. And the other amazing thing about Vino Volo is that as we continue to grow and elevate our experiences for our guests, is that we are we're expanding our offerings. So the newer iterations of Vino Volo, we have wine, but we also have cocktails, craft cocktails, and local beers. So That's one of the things that we're really working on as well, to be able to give a full, robust experience for our guests. So again, we can meet everybody where they're at.
And you mentioned that the retail markets offer bottles of wines. Are they just the wines that you offer on the wine list, or do you have more of a selection?
No, there's actually a very wide selection. And just like the discovery flights, our local teams have the autonomy to choose those. They have the control of their retail program as well. And I think that's really compelling. And that's where you find that local flavor. So if you were to go to our Portland Vino Volo, there is an entire wall dedicated to the Willamette Valley. And that's something that is, and that's our retail offering. So a way above and beyond what we offer from our wine list. This is something that has been specially curated by that team for retail setting. And that's what, again, one of those really special dynamics. So you get that consistency, but you also get the diversity from each location that you go to.
And you also must rotate in different wines. I mean, the wine list isn't static.
No, we do rotate for sure. So I'm actually right now in the middle of our red wine RFP, which RFP just means request for proposal. So I can share with you, we had over 550 submissions for the 11 slots that I'm looking to plug in. So yeah, we have an entire process. We have an RFP committee and tasting panel. Our process is very succinct, and we're very transparent, but we do everything blind. So we go through, right now we're going through our presentation. So I have about 50 or so virtual presentations to listen to. And so after we're done, I'll be popping back on to listen to some more virtual presentations. And then our tasting panel will convene next month, and we will taste all of those wines. There's approximately 200 that have made it to the finals, the semifinals, for again, those 11 slots. And we'll taste all of them blind over 3 days.
But yeah, with it, that sounds like a tough job, but someone's got to do it, I guess.
You know, I tell you what, everyone jokes like, oh, poor you, you have to drink wine. By the time we get through the second day, everyone's palate is tired, right?
I'm
so
sure.
We're trying to do all the things to refresh our palates. And this is all red wine. So teeth will be gray. And, you know, we're doing all the proper things. We're tasting, we're not drinking. We're doing, you know, the sip, the smell, sight, smell, taste, spit. we're doing all the things, but yeah, it's daunting to say the least. But that being said, when we commit to that particular program, every location has a commitment of how many cases they need to sell. And then once we get through that, we move on to the next. So typically, if you were to go to the same Vino Volo, I'll say within 9 months, and that's a typical location that's working through their allocation the way that we designed it. We have some locations that move through volume very quickly, and that's a good problem to have. But if you were to go to another Vino, at the same Vino Volo within a 9 month period, that left side of the menu, what we call our core side, will have changed.
Got it. And describe your loyalty program and sure. Another like tech enhancements you've brought to the
Yes, yes. So we do have an app and everyone is free to download that. And we have loyalty levels. So it's based on how much you spend, kind of similar to what the airlines do and things of that sort. So our first level is called Seller, and then Reserve and Grand Reserve. And so with each level, you get additional rewards. So with our Seller level, you get a special taste or $2 for a taste of wine. With our Reserve level, you get that special taste for $2, you get a complimentary amuse-bouche, and then you get 20% off of 3 bottles or more. And then with our Grand Reserve, you get a Grand Reserve member up to 3 guests. So you get the member benefits, and then you get to extend that to 3 of your guests, and then you have 20% off of your entire purchase. So there's a lot of opportunity there. Yeah. But we have a great diversity amongst the individuals that are a part of that program. And that's something that we're actually looking to continue to enhance. How do we make our app more user-friendly, make it a bit more interactive, provide some additional information, educational intel, and things of that sort? Those are the things that we're looking to and continue to enhance this year.
Great. Well, that segues really well into the next point. So what else is next for Vino Volo? Can you share anything else that's happening in 2024?
Yeah, we're looking at innovation. How do we continue to stay ahead of the trend? Vino Volo was the first of its kind, and we are the largest concept as far as if you want to think just wine bars in an airport setting. We're the largest. We're the first and we're the largest. And so how do we continue to stay ahead of the competition? Because we're not the only ones out there anymore. So really looking at innovation, potential virtual sommelier opportunities. So how do we help alleviate pain points, help to elevate the guest experience? We're looking at potential holograms. Like, these are all things that we are looking to. Can't commit to anything right now, but these are the types of innovations that we are looking forward to. And again, with our app, finding ways to elevate the app and to make it a bit more interactive and providing a bit more information that's user-friendly for our guests so that they'll be able to use it beyond just being at a Vino Volo. What are some things that we can do to continue to educate our guests and think about Vino Volo all the time?
Will you be opening at other airports in the coming year?
Yes. So we just opened in Atlanta at right before Christmas. So last year we opened Atlanta right before Christmas, and we opened at Reagan in Washington, D.C. in the National Hall. And our Atlanta location is at Terminal T. So if you come through security, make the left, you're going to go all the way down. And we're about a 5-minute walk from security.
Do you think you would ever open outside of an airport, like a Vino Volo?
Yeah, you know, we actually, that had happened years ago. I believe that there were 2 brick and mortars. One was in Bethesda, the other one was in Tyson's Corner. And never say never, but those locations are no longer open. So we will see. But for now, we are completely committed to the airport space.
Yeah, because I think with the branding you have, you know, people would look for it.
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, I think with everything that happened in 2020, the dynamic, the world, the landscape just changed so dramatically. At this point, we know what's clicking for us, and it's the airports. But again, never say never.
Thanks so much, Larissa. Next time I fly, we'll have to make some extra time so I can stop at Vino Volo for a wine flight. You can download this episode of Menu Feed and past ones on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Pat Kobe.